Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Struggle Session. I'm Leslie III.
I'm Jack Allison.
It's the 300th episode, everyone.
Who can believe that?
300 official Struggle Session episodes that we've done, that we've put the number on. We've done way more than 300 episodes, but the ones that we put the official number on, like
the official numbering on, you know, official,
like comic books, you know.
You know, will we ever start a Struggle Session Volume 2 to have a collector's item new number one?
A reboot? Yeah.
We should have a new number one at some point.
Maybe then, next episode will be new number one. We take the 300, we end, and we start Volume 2.
Some variant thumbnails, you know?
I actually have done that a couple of times.
Yeah, if we could get like a hologram, you know, variant thumbnail, that'd be cool.
But thank you all so much for your support, for your subscriptions at sesh.plus. Or if you can't subscribe, if you've asked us to get the bonus episodes because you can't afford it, thank you for that.
We're just checking out the show, honestly.
Yeah, we really appreciate you you liking, subscribing, giving us, you know, those giving us good ratings on iTunes, all that shit. But we really just appreciate you like being so cool and chill and giving us, fairly speaking for both of us, the best jobs we've ever had.
For sure. You know, thank you for just letting us do this. You know what I mean? Like letting this become a job. This is only possible to be a job because you all are so cool. I never necessarily would have thought that I'd be able to make a living, you know, bullshitting about movies and stuff like that. But it's very cool that I can, and I really, really appreciate everyone who listens to the show very much.
Thank you. Well, Jack, we're not bullshitting about movie. We do drop some knowledge, and we're about to drop some today.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie that we definitely were going to do at some point. I probably would expect us to do it sooner, but the numbers lined up, the numerology lined up, the Oracle of Delphi gave us the go ahead, and we today are talking about 300.
Mm-hmm.
Both Frank Miller's and Zack Snyder's version.
We are covering them both for the 300th episode. We don't fuck around, you know. It's all of them.
We're bringing in Herodotus too a little bit. We're gonna drag his ass a little bit too when we get down to it. But yeah, so 300. I asked people what they thought of this movie before, as I'm wont to do when I'm thinking about doing the episode, and the reaction, Jack, was universally negative.
Really?
Maybe a handful of people said that they actually, you know, enjoyed the movie, but there were way more people saying it's a bad movie, and not just bad, but like bad to exist, like racist, fascist, very negative reaction.
So listen, I rewatched 300 today for this episode, and I hadn't seen 300 since, I want to say, in theaters, unless it was something that I downloaded like a, you know, 640 by 480, you know, torrent of or something like that to watch, to burn to a CD-ROM and watch.
A WMV.
Yes, yes.
If you put it on your VCD player, yeah.
I actually don't necessarily think that it's like a fascist or bad to exist movie or whatever, but it does suck. It's not that good, in my opinion. And, you know, I think that maybe at the time it been, well, I guess we have to put it in like the proper historical framework, which is that, like, you know, 300, the big thing that everybody was so excited about and talked about so much was that 300 was a very accurate adaptation of a graphic novel. Like, I remember 300 almost being announced kind of, you know, in the sort of follow up to Sin City vein. You know what I mean? Like, so 300, with all of its weird look and everything like that, it was kind of intended to be like a pseudo hyper stylized, you know, Sin City kind of thing. Now, do I think it works as well as Sin City? Do I think it's as good as Sin City or as interesting? Not at all.
Yeah, it's good that you put it in that first context, because I remember when the movie was first announced, the reaction to it was just like, oh wow, that looks like a sweet ass like action movie. Wow, they're gonna make. I remember thinking to myself, like seeing the trailers for it, is like, whoa, is this like gonna be an action movie that's like all action scenes? Like,
right.
Sick. I didn't know they could do that. Right. Like that was, and I remember it was a kind of a pop culture phenomenon, not just, you know, in the nerd fanboy circles, but also, you know, like I remember like Entertainment Tonight and thing, and I remember like. I remember like something on like on morning shows, they would talk about like the workout that the guys were doing, like on The View and right. shit like that. They would talk about like how all these, you know, hot actors have all these incredible abs and stuff like that. So it was like just kind of a big kind of cultural event that wasn't necessarily, you know, in any way, shape or form, I believe, really considered terribly political. It was just like, this is the big movie that's coming out that looks kind of cool.
Yeah. And like I said, also, in my opinion, anyway, it kind of arrived in the shadow of Sin City, you know, which had already been done by, you know, Robert Rodriguez, you know, with Frank Miller, you know, a couple years earlier. And so, well, I remember 300 coming and I was like, okay, so this is what they're doing now. They're doing like hyper accurate Frank Miller, you know, adaptations where they adapt it word for word.
Yeah,
and
Ronin would be next.
Yeah.
I know there were rumors of Dark Knight Returns movie at the time. They even did they let Frank Miller direct The Spirit, which was awesome.
So
absolutely
so awesome. So funny. so funny.
So it's worth talking a little bit about the comic and why I think people react so strongly to how the film is, where the comic book mostly just had a reputation for being just kind of a cool comic with great art. It wasn't as politicized.
Yeah.
I get complaints people have is mostly about the portrayal of the Persians who face down with the 300 Spartans at the Hot Gates. This is a, you know, a real, as much as we can say, historical event that happened in around 480 BC. We do have contemporary reports from a guy named Herodotus, but with the caveat that, you know, first of all, he was a Greek, so his reporting, and he was using mostly Greek sources. They actually think he faked the sources that he used, that he claims were Egyptian.
Fake news.
Or Persian. So you can't really take what he said, his portrayal of the Persian, as face value. Cause so a lot of what we perceive as the racism of Frank Miller and Zack Snyder kind of starts from there, because this is like a sort of biased Greek historian writing about, you know, how Xerxes is this foppish
savage. You're right. Xerxes is the other one, right?
Xerxes. Yeah, Xerxes is the king, and he's like
sort
supposed
of like attired and all this, like, you know, finery and foppish. Yeah,
Orientalism 101 is basically how Xerxes is portrayed, and that's literal because this is where we get those ideas. That's part of why we get the ideas from the original history. So I do kind of defend Miller and Snyder a bit on that, but there is a lot of stuff that's just inexcusable. But the main problem with the portrayal of the Persians is, of course, the what you were talking about, like the context where we're talking about the war on terror and the post 9/11 world, where of course you're going to see what is referred to constantly as the Horde in the movie and the comic book, as, you know, this racist depiction of Muslims, of Islams, of Arabs. Is meant to be like in both the comic and the film, they just kind of say Asia, all of Asia, just so everyone to the east, you know, is just kind of is either a slave or, you know, this a sexually deviant, what would you call it, like
layabout, like a hedonist. Like opium addicts and stuff, like going on little, like bringing around little parades of sex and weird shit.
And then literal
Freaks,
monsters.
Not like
and
the
then,
Greeks walking around nude with children and stuff.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny because I think the comic does a decent job of kind of putting it in the context that, like, these are just two warring cultures,
right?
And not necessarily one is superior to the other. It's from the Spartans' perspective, but there's like critiques there, and they do portray the Spartans as kind of like these savages in like their thugs, own right.
You know, yeah. I actually thought that the movie, like, cast two Hollywood-looking of yes. people as the Spartans. I was like, oh, God, especially yeah. when I read the comic right afterwards, I was like, oh, the comic is so much better because they're, like, Frank Miller, like, kind of ogre-looking.
They're not they're, even, like, they're like in not, the comic, they're, like, olive-skinned. They're not even, like,
I know,
they're
well, that's
not
the
even
other
white.
Thing is, like, in the movie, it's, like, very much they're just, like, white, white people, you yeah. know? And I do think that that's a misstep in the movie, like, you know, and maybe one that comes from, like, Zack Snyder's, you know, weird American-centric view of the world or something.
I think maybe it being generous, I think, like, if you were going to make this sort of movie, of course you're going to hire a bunch
right, actors.
Of white, you know, famous
well, here's
white
the other
actors.
Thing, here's the other thing I'd say about it is that, you know, as you're talking about, you know, this is history as viewed by the victors, you know, and this is history from a very specific lens and perspective and viewpoint, you know, also this is being adapted from a comic book that kind of is cool, but it's kind of just like Frank Miller doing like an EC Comics kind of like, you know, hard boiled action thing of like a commonly known story about Greek history. You know what I mean? Like that was what was kind of fun about it is that it's just like a very, you know, grim and dark and well illustrated, very EC Comics, gross, you know,
yeah.
spectacle, you know, and in that sense, I'm like, if you're doing a big comic booky version of this story that we're taught in high school, you know what I mean? Like, I guess this is how the story goes, you know what I mean? Like,
historians usually talk about the hot gates and this just as like a battle, right? Like,
right.
not necessarily as like a class of cultures or good guys right. or bad guys. It's just like, oh, this is an interesting like technique the Spartans yeah. allegedly used in order to hold off, obviously not a million people, right? Obviously not.
I don't
obviously
know.
Obviously, that's
could have been. It's 300 for a million? Could be.
Obviously exaggerated. Of course, it's not just the 300 Spartans. They also had a bunch of Greeks, 10,000 right. or so Greeks with them. So it's not quite. I mean, this is a myth. This is essentially a myth that we're talking about here. And I think the comic book does a pretty decent job of kind of trying to make it feel a little bit real and hardcore and just like kind of, it's very cynical and a little bit very fatalistic. Like you, like Leonidas, he only talks about dying in like the first couple of plays. Like, I am marching these men to death. Like from,
he's like, I only wish I had more to sacrifice.
Yes. Yeah, like lines like that make it very clear that the Spartans are a particular type of person that you might not necessarily want to be. The throwing the children off cliffs thing is meant to be a sort of hint too. But I just feel like when they moved it to the movie version, they added in so much humanity
right.
to the Spartans that's not in the comic. They added in Lena Headey's character, the queen. She has one line in the comic and then she's right. gone. In the movie, she is like a badass feminist who single-handedly saves Greece. Now, I understand, you know, wanting to add more women to the story and wanting to portray them positively, but then that ends up making the Spartan society as a whole
positive,
look like
yeah.
incredibly progressive and positive, even though in reality, Spartan women did have more rights than other women in antiquity, relatively speaking. But like in the same token, like when you watch 300, they're always calling the Persians slaves. Sparta had tens of thousands of slaves living there. They were called helots, and they were like treated like, I mean, they were slaves, and they were given, this is interesting, each slave had a requisite number of beatings that they had to get each year, regardless of whether
they had a quota.
Yeah, there was a quota of beatings you had to get if you were a slave in Sparta for the express purpose of making sure that you never forgot that you were a slave. Even if you were a good slave, they would still beat you just to make sure to know. So the Spartans, for all this talk of, you know, democracy, it was not a democracy, it was an oligarchy. This is the society of Sparta was not one that like we really look back.
It's not a good one.
It was not a good one. It's not
Athens
one that we
is
need
the
to...
one that everybody really thought was good. If you really look back. And they had problems, too. Don't even get me started on Athens.
Yeah, but that's kind of the thing. When you're talking about this film coming out in 2006 with the War on Terror, with this being about Persian, ancient Persia, a lot of the responses I got about this movie saying it was racist were from Iranians saying, like, yeah, it's fucking racist and horrible. I cannot disagree with anything.
I mean, truly, like, when it's like they're just shouting, like, Persians, and it's like a horde of unwashed Persians, I'm like, that's a little weird.
And even the first couple of scenes where, like, they get the very dark skinned actors and then they make them darker. There's one like transition where they make him like they literally tweak the contrast all the way up so he's straight up black. I'm like, Zach, what were you thinking, brother? He tried to make up for how racist 300 was, because there's nothing but black people in like Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, Justice League. Like, he has like almost like more than black people than you would expect in those movies for some reason. America thinks of itself as Athens, usually, like Athens or Rome. I can't think of anything more terrifying than an America that thinks it's Sparta. And that's of America that the Bush administration was trying to push us towards. And that's why this movie that initially started as just like a big action movie made $500,000 in theaters, just a big action movie, right? Became, and people were telling me these stories about how, oh yeah, I used to be in the military and all these fucking guys were super into this and they would actually quote the scenes and be like, what is your profession and all that shit. Like, they actually bought into this Spartan warrior lifestyle that I think was made much more appealing in the movie than it was in the book, just because of the nature of like Hollywood movies,
right,
where you have to give all the characters depth and character. And when a man sees his son dies, he has to cry. But we also see scenes of him being loving towards the son earlier that we don't get in the comic.
Right.
We like the Spartans in the comic are mostly nameless, faceless,
like kind of ugly and barbaric, you know,
they're not given really, most of them aren't given names or little arcs or characters, which you get in the movie. You get tons of these, all these Spartans.
The problem with
have
the movie
like
is almost that it
on.
Like added too much, you know what I mean? It's like that he should have just done, you know, what happened in Sin City where he just did it verbatim. Like, oh, that was my big complaint. I remember when I first watched it too, because I remember it coming in the shadow of Sin City, and I was like, they should have stuck to the original like Sin City did more. And now, all these years later, I have the same complaint. They should have just tried to stick to the original and didn't add all this stupid shit. And also probably shouldn't have casted the hottest, most white actors in the world as the you know, Spartans.
If you could actually probably cut this movie to a Frank Miller cut, and it would be shorter, better, and so much more fun. It would be what it should be.
The comic
like
is great, and I love a Frank Miller miniseries. Like, this miniseries is so good. It's such a brisk read, and it's like just big and bombastic. And I'm like, the miniseries is it is a little reactionary because Frank Miller is, but you know, he's one of the great comic book creators, like similar to like how Clint Eastwood movies will always be reactionary, but they'll always be really well crafted and well done movies. You know, I'm like, I don't know, like Frank Miller, you know, is a kind of, if you're going to tell me that I can't enjoy comic books by weird libertarians, then I don't know what the hell kind of comic books I'm supposed to read. I mean, that's like all of them.
Yeah, but and Frank Miller, we talked about on the show before, he has gone back and he really went off the deep end of a couple years after 300, my God. But he's walked back to that and has talked about how he was going through severe personal crisis at the time. And he said some horrible things that he doesn't believe now. So hopefully Frank Miller is getting back and healthier and not going down the Spartan path. The Spartans would just throw him off a fucking cliff. Frankly.
I mean, Frank Miller, like, if you look at Frank Miller recently, like, doesn't have the strength to survive in a Spartan society. Like,
no.
Frank Miller's a tiny little, he's wasting away pretty much.
Yeah. So back to the movie, and what I think the version of it that I would have liked to see is, you know, one that is just like a heavy metal music video.
Right.
I think the visuals of this are very strong. And I was actually surprised. I thought it would look like pretty crappy and shitty because a lot of stuff that's trying to be like 300 or doing this, you know, fully green screen sort of shooting looks pretty bad now. But I think 300 actually looks fairly good, even all the 14 years later. I think it looks a lot better than some of the stuff that's copied it.
So listen, I think I agree with you. I think 300 looks pretty good, although I will say that like this kind of like hyper colorized look for movies is like so overdone at this point that I was like much less forgiving of it than I was like when I first saw it. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
This like, felt like
I feel
the
like
first
when I,
one.
I feel like when I watched it, I was like, this is kind of a cool, like high contrasty look. And now I'm like, oh my God, if every fucking Marvel movie looks like this, every fucking thing looks like this, like very post effects, you know, post color thing. But I will say that Zack Snyder is like a visual artist and like did, you know, does it better. And like there was, you know, and was one of the first to do it in this movie. And I was, you know, I was kind of struck by like, okay, there's a lot of thought and intention being put into how the contrast is set, specifically the one part where the guy's face is made darker.
God, I there's so much in this film and so many shocks that I like, but like you, I saw this movie one time in theaters and did not want to watch it again. I was very disappointed when I first saw it. I did not enjoy it. It felt like it went on for forever.
Yeah.
As much as I love Lena Headey, I was like, she's like literally one of my favorite actresses in the world. And even like the first time I was watching it, I'm like, this does not need to be in the film. I'm sorry. I understand like you want to get all your quadrants in, but like her storyline just like makes the whole thing just seem like all the more racist, and it's not just not very interesting, and
I was
a little
say,
bit sexist and weird too at the same time.
It also like the added stuff makes the movie more boring. Like the comic is just so like bombastic and forward moving and just like loud, and in the movie it's just like, okay, like there's all this like movie shit in this, which is like kind of not in the comic. And you know, ultimately it like slows down the pace, and yeah, like you're saying, kind of like actually fucks up some of the intention maybe of the work.
What is Sparta supposed to be, right? In the comic book, it's this warrior class that's willing to, you know, sacrifice that, no, not will, not even willing, but like is has to sacrifice themselves in these battles or they'll be put to death themselves. That's the law. They have to fight. They can't run away. They have to follow orders or they die. And that's just what Spartan society is supposed to be. But at the same, and you're supposed to sacrifice yourself for Sparta. Sparta ends up becoming the main character, the protagonist of this movie, more or less. But they also, in the movie, talk a lot about like brotherhood and kinship and and like they're like friends with each other and they care when each other dies. And Leonidas, he says some of the colder lines from the comic, but he also has some like warmer lines about how much, you know, how sad he is about, you know, this and the loss for his men and they can't do more. And it's just like the movie is just tries to, it keeps all the stuff from the comic, but then adds in like a
worse stuff,
a bunch of not, I don't even say worse, but stuff that more typical stuff, like standard movie stuff that doesn't work since this is supposed to be a movie about like a bunch of, you know, sociopathic murderous society, you know,
almost like a caveman society or something, like, you know, it's a lot more forgivable when it seems like kind of too primitive tribes fighting against each other than like in this, where it's like the primitive tribes have come to the gate of our like very erudite, educated and white society.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And really, like, if Zach was smarter, I think he should have made Persia smarter, more educated, more powerful,
What they would have done now, honestly, is Persia would have been a little more smarter and powerful, but literally what they would have done now is just made the Spartans like multi-ethnic.
Yeah.
Xerxes
would definitely be white. Xerxes would definitely be a white actor. It would be like Josh Brolin.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the actor who plays... I love Xerxes, though. Like one reason the racism of the movie offends me not as much, perhaps, is because I was rooting for the Persians, like, the whole time. I was like, Leonidas, you're being a fucking asshole. Like,
yeah.
Xerxes is being very, very reasonable. He has overwhelming odds. Why do all these people need to die because you don't want to pay taxes? Like, for real.
I mean, that is what it's about in the end, you know? And in the Miller comic, it's just kind of like this celebration or, like... look at testosterone, kind of, you know, it's just like about like a fight.
Yeah, it's about happened. A fight.
It's just about a fight and the lead up to the fight and then the big fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like it. Like, it's just they fight and that's it. This one, it's like the movie makes it too much like honor and stuff like that. Like in the comic, they kill the messenger and that kind of seems like bad and fucked up. In the movie, it just seems like... like they should or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's little things too. It's kind of like the language of cinema makes these scenes like worse just from the start. When he kicks the messenger into the well in the comic, it's just like this unhinged. It's very sudden when you read it. It's like just this unhinged thing that this unhinged person is doing. But like in the movie, there's like slow motion and he bows his head and looks to his wife and his wife nods at him and all, there's all this stuff. And it's a very, you know, deliberate decision.
Big establishing shot of the whole, you know what I mean? In the comic, it's like they're talking to each other. Then we turn the page to a full spread and he's kicking him into a big giant hole.
Yeah. And just because he's an asshole, he's not yelling. He's not screaming. It's very casual. He's not Gerard Butlering it. He's
right.
Leonidas in the comic is just like this quiet savage kind of going about like his duty, his job in a very workmanlike way, knowing what has to be done. And it's not like you don't want to be that guy or like that guy. He doesn't even want to be himself for the most part. He's sacrificing himself for a longer play that he's never going to see the end of.
I feel like we've got this reputation of being Snyder defenders just because we like the Batman versus Superman.
Dawn of Justice.
I don't even really like exactly that specific version of it. I don't even like, I'm not like a fucking 300 fan, you know, I'm not. His Dawn of the Dead is the lesser of them. You know what I mean? Like, even Man of Steel, I think, is pretty bad. Like, I just think, you know, he hit the bullseye with Batman versus Superman, and I'm very much looking forward to the Snyder Cut of Justice League as well.
Yeah, it all sort of came together for that. Now, I want to propose something to you, Jack. And I don't know, hear me out. You know how big a fan I am of Berserk. It's my favorite.
Sure.
Anime of all time. And I believe you're a fan of it as well.
Oh, yeah. I like it a lot. Pretty brutal.
What would you think? I thought about this only while watching 300, a movie I dislike, though. I have to say, a movie I dislike. But it popped into my head that Zack Snyder would be a pretty damn good pick to make a live adaptation of
To be show. Honest with you, Leslie, just bring me. And people will hate me for this, but bring me that Sucker Punch, Zach. Bring me that Sucker Punch, Zack Snyder for Berserk. You know what I mean? I actually couldn't agree with you more, but I just hope he keeps the insane energy. You know, I would hate to see the Berserk adaptation that's like 300, where it's like, you know, very Hollywoody or whatever. But if we saw the Sucker Punch, this is like almost incoherent version of a Zack Snyder Berserk. That could be really, really special.
See, I want more of those character shots that he's like doing. Because most of Berserk is just people talking to each other. And like Zach does like having people talk to each other. He just likes to make it look, you know, so they're interesting. Like, the side-by-sides between the Joss Whedon and the Zack Snyder Justice League cut is just so funny because it'll be like Lois Lane and Martha Kent talking to each other in both, but like in one it looks like TV and the other it looks like movie.
One is like where they're sitting on the porch and you can see like the entire plains of Kansas in the background and like and like a big windmill and like a barn and everything like that. Or in the Joss one, they're sitting inside at a kitchen table.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's like very much what it is.
Yeah, I want that for Guts and Griffith. I want some good shots of them just hanging out in the fields of, you know, Falconia or whatever before the end. And you know he would do the eclipse justice. You know he would do the eclipse justice.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about with the you know, just insane sucker punch version. It's just like, just do the eclipse. Just do the eclipse.
just that scene. That's the whole movie.
Make it even more. Yeah, make it even crazier.
Jesus. Overall, 300, I don't really think it's a good movie. It's got tons of beautiful shots in it. If there was a fan version that just like was trying to be truer to the comic, this would actually be the one time where you would want the Chuds to do a version where they cut all the women out. Sadly, I love
it.
Only in this instance. Would that make the movie better? But I don't think it's very good. I do think it's fair to call it racist. I think it's terrifying that this movie came out in 2006, if I'm being honest with you. They should have just waited a few years. They should have waited. It's so funny because Snyder literally said that he wants to do the Fountain Head adaptation, right? But he can't do it while Trump is president because it's too political and
God.
People think. And he actually said, like, I don't care. I think Ayn Rand's politics are stupid. She she got high on her own supply. I just think she was a great writer. Like, he's actually that. He's actually that much of a weirdo.
He's dumb. And I like, when a Zack Snyder thing works, it works because a dumb guy is directing it. You know what I mean? Like, Batman versus Superman works because a dumb guy is directing it. He might be like Michael Bay is another great dumb guy director.
Oh yeah, he's maybe the best.
It doesn't work most of the time, but like occasionally they'll shit out a real good dumb guy.
Pain and Gain.
Yeah, and like a smart guy couldn't make those movies. You know what I mean? Like you have to like suffer through a lot of bad ones because like there need to be very successful, very dumb directors for movies like this to be made properly.
Who else other dumb guys?
There's a lot of them, but specifically dumb. Like Brett Ratner was a dumb guy director, but he's a canceled dumb guy director.
Oh, see, I was about to ask: is there like a line of delineation? Is there like the dumb guy director and the pervert director? Right?
Well, I mean, there's so much crossover because there are pervert directors who are not dumb guy directors. I mean, let's be clear here.
Oh, like, yes,
Woody Allen's not a dumb guy director. You know what I mean? He's one of the most smarty pants smart guys of directors ever. You know, he was like the go-to smarty pants director for a very long time.
Paul W.S. Anderson
is a top tier dumb guy director.
Love
those
that guy.
Evils are very, very good.
Love Paul, love his wife Mila, mm-hmm. who is a socialist. Love them. Hope they're
Paul W.S. Anderson is actually maybe my favorite dumb guy director. You know what? I think maybe like I think it's Paul W.S. Anderson, then probably Zack Snyder, and then probably Michael Bay.
I think that's probably correct. Because look, Paul W.S. Anderson, he's got Event Horizon under his belt. And I actually think
it's
like
that
cool. is so good that actually might slip even past like dumb guy director.
But then he
made
seven Resident Evils and like they're so good. I know he only directed
five. He directed five, but yeah, I really do love those.
His guiding hand in the other two though.
But the one he did not direct is actually really, I don't like that one, the second one. Alien versus Predator, love that movie. Mortal Kombat.
I mean, hey, listen, I do like seeing the Nemesis It was definitely funny to see the nemesis, like, very accurately portrayed. Too accurately portrayed. The nemesis.
And if you ask me, like, who is, like, more technically skilled, of course, I think Zack Snyder probably blows Paul W.S. out of the water.
But maybe Michael Bay beats them both. Like, Michael Bay is like a is like a real like head for all this shit. He's like always like they're making like new IMAX cameras just for him to film like stupid fucking Transformers with and stuff like that. Like, this guy knows tech for real.
All right. Let's take a look at Michael Bay's, you know, filmography. Of course, Zach, there's a lot of good shit. Let me see. All right, Bad Boys. And probably Bad Boys 2, I probably put in Bad Boys.
Honestly, maybe Michael Bay does beat Zack Snyder, and I'm just overvaluing him because I do like Batman versus Superman so much. Like, I mean, like, The Rock, Armageddon, fucking Bad Boys. Like, Michael Bay has some, like, real hits, has some, like, truly good, like, bangers in there. We're not fair to him because the Transformers are truly very, very bad, but he's had so much more than that.
Yes, yeah. I actually like the first Mark Wahlberg Transformers. Hey. It's like 3 hours long, and half of it is like a sub-movie that takes place in China. But there was something about it that just was like kind of fun.
What I do like about the Transformers movies is they're... total commitment to not caring at all about continuity. And like, I really like, I mean, Michael Bay feels like a classic blockbuster director in that way, like where Transformers in an era of everything being like hyper connected is like aggressively like has no continuity that works in any way. Like, they don't make any sense. They're pretty bad, those Transformers movies, but I guess I never saw the fourth.
Yeah, but I guess Paul W.S. Anderson, I gotta say, I enjoy most of those movies more than I enjoy most of the Michael Bay ones. I feel like there just seems like a bit more, I don't know, joy, humanity in the Resident Evil movies than the Transformer ones.
I mean, ultimately, the Resident Evils, and we should do a whole episode about them, but it's a husband-wife project. There's a lot of love in those Resident Evils. Like, you can tell.
And it's for the fans.
You can tell there's a lot of love. There's a lot of love in those Resident Evil movies, as weird as it is. They're kind of like Fast and Furious to me, where it's such a stupid thing, but then by the end, you can like really feel there's so much like heart and love being put into this like very dumb, like branded thing. Like, it's pretty great, actually.
Yeah, this is what that's what movies should be. That was what movies should be, really.
A husband and wife team like took the Resident Evil video game adaptation and just brought it to insane places. Like, I love that. That's better to me than like the Marvel universe just like repeating verbatim worse versions of comic books we saw. I'm like, I want to go into a movie and not know what the fuck it's gonna be, you know?
Yeah. Well, folks, that was the 300th episode of Struggle Fest.
Good Lord.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Have a good one.